motherhood, but not quite as we imagine. Thought-provoking, refreshing, straightforward, sometimes taboo, often seemingly ordinary, but always honest. Welcome to School for Mothers, opening conversations we all need to have, exploring ways in which you can be fulfilled as a woman, once a mother. Now, here is your host, mother of 10, Danusha Melina Durbin.
Hello and welcome to our 24th Sunday Supplement episode of the School for Mothers podcast. I'm Danusha Melina Durbin, your host, and the topic for this week's episode is napping, and my special guest is Cara Moore. Cara was previously a chartered surveyor, having graduated from Cambridge University in the UK. She's also a professionally trained executive and life coach who also leads her pro-nappers team on their mission to get the nation napping. Now, Cara unashamedly naps every single day in private or equally happily in plain sight. She says it's her superpower that truly makes her a positive powerhouse in business, for her family, and in general life. I'm looking forward to actually speaking about that. Now, when Cara's not napping, she's often to be found walking Google. That's her gorgeous Springer Spaniel on Wittering Beach, which is also in the UK. Now, she keeps abreast about what her three grown-up sons are doing, or she's drinking a glass of wine with friends, usually evangelising about napping. Now, I asked Cara to come onto the show as I'm super sure that napping is a truly powerful thing, but it's something that can often be overlooked by us busy working mothers. Taking time out to rest might be seen as an indulgence, and I'm hoping that Cara is going to arm us all with some tips on how to integrate napping into daily life. And actually, on top of that, why we really must integrate napping into our lives. So come on then, let's dive into my conversation with Cara on napping. Well, today I'm extremely lucky to be talking with Cara Moore about one of the subjects in my life that I really adore, actually. And you probably won't know that, listeners, but Cara is all about napping. Welcome, Cara, to the School for Mothers podcast.
Thank you, Danusha. I'm really pleased to be here.
Oh, now, how did you really come across the idea of, or at least the power of napping? How does that come into your life?
So the power of napping for me started, and this will really connect, I think, with a lot of your listeners, was when I became a mum. So I was a young mum. I got married at 21, and I had two small boys. And I remember being in a shopping centre one day, and I was so tired. My eldest son didn't sleep through the night, and I know this to the day, till he was 2 months or four, because it was the Christmas before his fourth birthday. So I'm really sleep deprived, and I was in the shopping centre, and I saw the sign for the creche. And I thought to myself, I wouldn't pay you to look after my children while I go shopping, but I would pay you if I could go and have a nap somewhere. And that real yes. seed of the idea that has now been brewing for, brewed for 25 years, and it was 2 years that I decided to do something about it.
So, I mean, sleep, obviously, we had a... on the School for Mothers podcast here, we had a brilliant sleep expert come and, come and chat with me about, she runs a sleep clinic actually, yeah. And it's brilliant about the difference of sleep between men and women. Mm. And it's really fascinating, but we covered naps a tiny bit because of course there's a kind of, is there an optimal time to have naps, and if you nap too long then it can really screw up your sleep. Is that true? Is that of interest?
Yeah. So the optimal length of a nap is less than 20 minutes for sure. If you nap for more than 20 minutes, you run the risk of going into, well, not run the risk, you certainly will go into your deep sleep. And if you try and wake up after 30 minutes, you will wake up feeling groggy and worse. So you really need to keep your nap to 20 minutes or less. Even 10 minutes or 5 minutes can make such a difference. So I know that I'm a pro at napping, and I can sometimes, if I've got 5 minutes or say 10 minutes before a meeting, I can spend 5 minutes of that relaxing and having a nap, and it will completely get my sort of calm my brain and rest my mind and get me absolutely in the zone for the meeting. In terms of the time of day to have a nap, so we at ProNappers, which is my napping business, we actually talk about three types of nap. And yep. The main type, I guess, is the refresh nap, which is the nap that most people will be familiar with, which is the nap that you have in the middle of the day. And that is aligned to the very natural circadian dip in your sleep, the natural dip in your circadian rhythm, which means that we're biologically predisposed to nap twice a day. We are biphasic sleepers. And if you have your nap in the early afternoon, what we call, as I said, the refresh nap, it will re-energize you ready for the afternoon ahead. Now, the other naps that we talk about a recovery nap. And this is particularly, I guess, for mums and dads who have had a disturbed night's sleep. Although there are a million reasons why we don't sleep well at night. It's not just babies and children and teenagers coming in late that wake us up. It can be as you get older. It can be menopausal symptoms. As you get older for men, it's prostate and having to get up to go to the loo all the time. Then you've got the external disturbances. You've got, I don't know, dogs barking and then sirens going off. And there are so many reasons we don't sleep well at night. And despite all the great education there is around what you need to do to get a good night's sleep, there are so many things that, you know, we're only human. So we do binge watch box sets in, late into the evening. We are on our phones. We do drink too much alcohol. We do have a curry. You know, there are so many, you know, we're only human. So the statistic is, in fact, the staggering statistic is that only 8 out of 10 of us do not get the required 7 to 8 hours sleep at night. So only 20% of us are actually sleeping well at night. And so for those 80% of the walking tired, the refresh, the recovery nap, which is the one that you can have really early in the day, is the one that will set you up. And I know for my...
Tell me more about the recovery nap then. When you say you can have one earlier in the day, how early do you mean? I mean, we're going to come on to where ProNappers suggest that we have these naps, but let's keep going with these three kinds. So the recovery one,
one can be ridiculously early in the morning. So for me, I like to go to bed early, and then I'll wake up early. And sometimes if I've woken up at, I don't know, 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I just allow myself to be awake, because that's when I'm doing my really good thinking. I'm not on my computer, but I am awake and I am thinking. And I can even then go back to sleep at 6:30 in the morning for a 20-minute nap before I get up. And I know that may sound a bit odd, but I've actually spoken to other people about it. And our mutual friend, Stephanie Danusha, she actually talks about that sleep that you have early in the morning as a treat sleep. But actually, in my opinion, it's just the first nap of the day. Whereas other people...
I love it.
Other people will nap a bit later in the morning. So typically on their commute into work, so you'll see people, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning asleep on the train. Well, they're napping. And other people, they'll be in their offices and they don't want to wait till sort of 1 o'clock to have their nap. Literally coffee time in the morning, 10:30, 11. They just go, do you know, if I could just shut my eyes for 10 minutes, it would make all the difference. So that is the recovery nap, that one that you have in the morning.
Okay. So, and it really does depend when we wake up. So for you, if you wake up at 4:30, then yours might be 6, 7, whatever it is for a tiny little nap. Yeah. I quite often do that, actually. So I'll wake up, I'll do some incredibly focused work. Mm. I love working from 5 to 6:30, 4:30 to 6. It's a natural thing for me. Mm. And then I'll get a little nap and feel absolutely fantastic. So yes, that's that that recovery very early when you see them on the commute all the time. People are sleeping. I very rarely sleep at that time because I've already had one, funny enough. But now, you just mentioned a mutual friend of ours who's Stephanie Modell, listeners. And so she's going to be coming on the podcast, but she is a sleep expert, but she's a baby sleep expert. Mm. So she's coming on, and I'll pop her book, listeners, in the show notes. So it's The Baby Sleep Guide, Practical Advice on Getting Your Baby to Sleep, which is, of course, the other end of things. Mm-hmm. Incredibly important, impacting our adult sleep. So, yes. Okay. So we've got the refresh nap, the early afternoon one, which you talked about, the recovery nap. What's the third one?
So the third nap is something we call the planned nap. So this is a nap that you have much later in the day, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And that is when you know that you've got a really busy evening ahead. So for people who are working, you might be working late across time zones, talking to America, you might need to be going networking. And it's really important that you show up at your best. And, or you might be working really late on a deal. And I know that if it's a day that I haven't had a nap during the day and I need to go out in the evening, that if I don't have that planned nap at sort of 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, there is really no point me going out in the evening because I'm too tired to be there. Whereas if I have that little 15, 20 minute nap late afternoon, then I show up in the evening really present. I'm interested. I'm interesting. I want to be there. I show up, and the networking event, whatever it is I'm going to, is really meaningful, and the conversations I have are meaningful, and it's the game changer to make the time I'm spending in the evening a worthwhile use of my time. And if I haven't had the nap, then frankly, I probably would cancel and not even go.
That's interesting, isn't it? So those three are pretty critical. I mean, you could take, I guess, all three in a day, yeah?
Typically, I have a nap every day, at least one nap. Sometimes I might have two, but I don't have three. And I think we're then getting into the realms of maybe having a sleep problem. And if you do have, we have to be really careful here because some people do have a sleep problem or a sleep illness. And if that can be masked if they nap too many times during the day. So what we're really advocating for is having one power nap during the day or 10 to 20 minutes.
Good. Okay. So today's School for Fathers podcast is called Boost, and it's with Daryl. Oh, she's gone out of my head. Woodhouse, his surname is. It's back in the head. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And Daryl, I mean, we're talking actually about how, you know, we don't burn out and how, you know, the kind of burnout of men. And he talks very, very personally about his experiences twice of you know, pretty well taking himself to his knees. And one of the things that he talks about is his sleep apnea and how this is a taboo subject because he wears a mask. He has to, you know, he has a very serious form of sleep apnea. And we discuss in it about he was talking about how taboo it is. And then I'm like, well, Daryl, if you think it's taboo for a man, imagine what it would be like for women. Because there's so many reasons why women don't come forward to discuss their sleep problems. And of course, they're also dismissed. So the first thing that happens is with sleep problems, you know, a lot of doctors look at depression, a lot of doctors look at other things, but they don't actually look at a sleep disturbance illness, such as apnea, which of course is very dangerous. So yes, I take what you're saying completely, because I guess if somebody is needing those three naps, then yeah, it probably is masking something. On the other hand, Cara, I was thinking, well, that sounds like me, not the sleep illness. Yeah. I was thinking, right, I can, you know, I'm a big productivity person and I'm always honing habits. I was like, actually, you see, if I do need to burn the day long, which I do quite a bit of the time, I might try out three.
Okay.
But then I'm a pro napper, actually, because I can do 5-10 minutes and wake. Yeah.
And I think you mentioned something really interesting there, because you mentioned depression, and I think having a well-rested mind and naps can alleviate stress and anxiety, and it gives you a more positive outlook on life, and it can make your mood better. And there's one really interesting aspect, which is that when people who have those really noisy thoughts that keep them awake at night, that racing mind, and they then get into a spiral that's a really negative spiral of then panicking, how am I going to cope at work or at home the next day if I haven't slept well? And you get into this vicious cycle of your thoughts are keeping you awake, you start panicking about how you're going to cope tomorrow, and it just gets worse and worse. And what I've noticed is that if you know that you can have a nap the next day, and you know that you will be able to catch up, and you know that you will cope and you will get through your day, your mind softens and calms. And ironically, you get the double benefit, because then you drift off to sleep at night anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of self-soothe, knowing that you can anticipate that recovery time, don't you? And we're talking in some ways about resilience. Mm. You know, kind of training our minds to calm, but also, and therefore through the sleep, becoming more resilient to the pressures that and the kind of busyness that a lot of us, you know, either generate or, you know, particularly in organizations, are under the cosh of. So it's building in these habits that will allow us to deal with some of this. So
I was just going to say, that's a very interesting word that you just used then about busyness, because often people say to me, I am too busy to nap. When do you expect me to go and nap? I can't. And I say to them, but what you're doing now in order to power through, and I do talk about this pernicious and pervasive power through paradigm that has got to stop. In order to keep that powering through, what you do is you reach for caffeine, and you reach for chocolate, and you reach for sugary drinks. So the time that you're taking to go and make the coffee, to go to the vending machine and to get those drinks, that time is going to add up to more than if you just took yourself off for a 15-minute nap. So you're not too busy to nap. You're already wasting your time in the wrong areas to help you power through.
Well, it's exactly. What I love about you, what you're saying, is that we really do have the choice of where we put our energy, where we put our focus, isn't it? So we could go have a chat with somebody, we could go get a coffee, we could do, you know, have a bar of chocolate because we feel, you know, that might zip us up, or whatever it is that we're choosing. But in fact, if we choose a nap, the regenerative benefits of that are way beyond just those few minutes. It restores so much in our general patterns and our body resilience, doesn't it? So let's take, I know we've got a lot of listeners who are based in organizations, say all sorts of places around the world. How, I know I have experience on this actually, but I'm curious to know, how do people in organizations build in their nap? How do they do that? How do they suddenly, out of nowhere, in a culture that isn't pro-napping, how do they begin to do this, Cara?
Okay. So I think the very first thing starts with the mindset, like all things. So it is about giving yourself that permission to nap, and knowing that by having a nap that you are, it's the very best use of your time, and that you're not wasting time. So that's where you need to start, is with that self-permission to nap. And it falls into that self-care, self-compassion, self-leadership. I'm sure you will have talked about on previous podcasts. So once you've given yourself permission to nap, you've then got to think, okay, first, two more things. Where am I going to go and nap? And what
yes.
things do I need to help me nap? Okay.
Yes. So love it.
Which way should we go first? Where to nap or the sort of napping aid?
I think the critical one, because the rest we can bring with us, it's like, where do you go? Where do you actually go to have this nap?
Okay. So we've talked about public transport already. And I know some people yes. in the middle of their working day will go and get on a bus or a tube and have their nap on public transport.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's so funny.
So the other place is we actually did a survey just before Christmas and we surveyed 500 people. And 3/4 of those people had said, yes, they had napped at work. But unsurprisingly, they were all closet nappers. And literally, of those, the 75% who had napped, they'd napped in various places, but 25% of them had literally taken that closet napping to its literal meaning. And they'd gone to the water closet, as in the WC, as in the loo, and they had napped on the loo, which is absolutely shocking at so many levels. I mean, I've done it. I know people do it. 25% of our survey did it, but that's where they are going to nap.
Well, and if we're talking about...
We want to change that. So I can give you some other good, better places to nap, Tanisha.
Well, no, before you do, because I love that you're going to do that, it's such a shame, isn't it? I mean, like that is just awful that people are having to sit on loos to get what they need, to get, you know, they get their naps and their break. And I'm seriously, like, the first thing that comes to me after being slightly, you know, like sad that that's what we have to do, or at least 25% of your survey do, is that ladies' loos, there's not many of those. And so we know that architecturally we don't design in enough loos for the amount of women in an organization, or indeed for a restaurant or a club or wherever we go in the public sphere, there isn't enough loos. So what does that mean? That means that I'm just going to draw the assumption that basically, you know, for a woman to sit in for 12 minutes, let's say between 12 to 15 minutes, that would create a queue. There's not many loos, and we know that. So I would not be able to, personally, knowing this, I couldn't nap thinking that there was a
people
queue.
But
yeah, exactly.
It is funny because the you know, in America, they call the loo the restroom.
Yes, I know.
It is just, anyway, it's just bonkers.
It is bonkers. So, yeah. Okay, so that's one option. If you can find one where it's tucked away somewhere and you won't cause some kind of scene when there's six women outside waiting. But yes, I love it. It's great. So great. Where are the other places?
The place that was sort of top near the top of our survey was the car. So the people that drive to work, they have the option of going and sitting in their car. So I think that was over 30% of our survey. And then the other place is for people who work at home. They said, I just go and sit on an armchair or on the sofa or lie on my bed when I'm feeling tired. And they tell us, you know, how much better they feel for having taken that time out. And we can go into the benefits a bit more. But, you know, afterwards, they feel completely, you know, back on their game. They feel sharp. They feel creative. And, you know, so much better than if they'd just powered through. And it just, again, seems to me absolutely bonkers that people who are working from home can go and do that productivity and performance sort of reset, but yet on the days they're in the office, they can't. And they just have to power through, you know, making mistakes, taking longer than they need to write emails. It, as I said, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't. So we've got the restroom, loo, we've got the car.
Yeah.
Where else in organisations, though? Because I know that it's so much easier, isn't it, if you work from home.
Yeah.
But if you're not, then you're navigating that, and actually, you know, you're at more choice at home, potentially, because it's your own home environment. Mm. So co-working spaces.
So literally where there are two places that would spring to mind. So firstly, if you're working in an organization and they do have a quiet room, or increasingly companies are having rooms for where you can go and sort of switch off and meditate and so mm-hmm. on, you could go there. If your organization doesn't have that, then if you were like me, you'd just be able to go and find a sort of a comfy chair in a breakout area, and I would put my headphones on and I would just shut my eyes, and people would probably just think I'm listening to music. I mean, the other place that I'll go if I'm out and about in the city because I don't have a fixed office is I just go to a coffee shop and I just find a corner seat, and again, I'll just fall asleep there. And I do have a lovely sleep mask. If I was on a train, I absolutely would put my mask on. Sometimes if I'm in a public place, it depends how busy it is and kind of what kind of mood I'm in. And I don't need to put on a mask to nap. But
well, how safe are you as a woman in a public place, popping your mask on? Do you grab your handbag?
And that's why I don't wear a mask if I'm in a coffee shop, because I don't want to look vulnerable. And
well, it's not just looking it. You might be it. You know, that's what I mean. I mean, in terms of just, you know, someone might slide your bag away.
I put my bag between my feet. So,
okay, yep, good tip. Mm-hmm. Or you could put it. You could put the chair leg, like on the actual handle.
We're calling out that it is difficult. I mean, other people I know have gone and napped in a church, just sat in a church pew.
Yes.
Or a quiet spot in a public library.
Yep.
Companies have mothers' nursing rooms. And
yes.
I know there was one gentleman who obviously wasn't a nursing mother, but that's where he used to go and have his nap.
That's what he said he was doing in there.
I don't know what else he was doing to me.
I obviously have a different mind than you. He was waiting for a woman to come in and breastfeed. What else? Yes, I take your point there.
Not ideal. And so, again, one of the things that we're doing at ProNappers is partly we're doing a big education piece for companies as to why they should encourage napping as part of their well-being culture. But we're also looking at helping them install places to nap. And that can be everything from getting a nap pod or what we call a nap nook, which is more of a reclining chair behind a screen, right through to rooms which are designated rooms for napping, which would be beautifully lit at the right temperature with lovely smells and sort of cordoned off cubicles, if you like, with maybe four or six nap stations. And, you know, I want to say again, this isn't for people to go and have a like kind of good old 2-hour nap and sleep.
Yes. Where's Roger? He's napping again.
it's that very focused 20-minute power nap.
Yep.
But ideally, we want these nap pods, which we've researched and we now sell, to be part of the furniture of every progressive organization that really values and cares for its employees, knowing that if they do that, that's how they're going to get the best out of their employees, and the employees are going to think that their employer really cares for them, and it builds all that loyalty and it reduces absence and all the other benefits that you would be able to imagine.
Yeah, what you really need is some CEOs that actually regularly nap and make it so normalized and give permission to, you know, senior leadership, obviously. You know, where I work, in terms of at the level I work with those people, that's why I'm immediately thinking we need to see them publicly doing that. Like, you know, Sarah's napping now. That's the CEO. And you know, great. It's just totally normal in the culture, because it is about the culture, whether that really embraces the well-being of employees, isn't it? So
yeah,
okay. I want to know for those organizations, because you know it's easier, isn't it, if you're at home, you can you can make the choice to do this. That's easier said than done for people that think, I haven't got time. I'm just going to keep working. And at work, it's very different. It's a little more obstacles until they become progressive and install these pods. So what do we need? What would you suggest? What are the, in your survey, what were the kinds of props, things that people need in order to, once they found a place, nap?
So there are a few things. So firstly, you need to be comfortable. So find a comfortable chair or ideally a pod where you can nap. The second thing is light levels. So wearing a mask can help with that. Mm-hmm. The third thing is sound. So the sound is, there's two aspects to sound. So firstly, if you want to block out external sound, then you've got noise cancelling headphones, that sort of thing. Or you might want to listen to something that is soothing and relaxing. And we have actually designed and created two meditations specifically for napping. So they help you drift off into your nap. They give you that permission to nap. And after 20 minutes, just before 20 minutes, they gently wake you up again, ready for your day, having been reminded that this is the best use of your time and the most productive thing that you can be doing. So we've got those meditations. And then the last thing is aroma. And again, I'm so excited because we've been working with a clinical aromatherapist and we've designed a very specific blend of oils and called a nap aroma, and we've put it into an inhaler. We've also got a spray in production that will be available soon. And this inhaler looks like a bit like a Vicks nasal stick that you might be familiar with. And when you smell it, you go straight into that feeling of, oh, this is just blissful. And there are two oils in it that help to relax you and calm your mind. And then there's a third, what I call a kicker oil, which means that at the end of the 20 minutes, you wake up feeling refreshed and rejuvenated and replenished and recharged and ready to go.
Brilliant. So we've got the comfort, the sound, the light, and the smell and the meditation. So help us out here.
Okay.
If we're not going to buy your meditation or your oils, what oils are the three oils that somebody could think would be good for the oil in the room, for the smell in the room? What's ideally the kind of meditative combination?
Yeah. So really you want to be having the smells on an individual basis, because everybody, rather than sort of having a large space with the aroma, because it's not going to suit everybody. Yes. So let's assume you've got your own inhaler. Mm-hmm. The relaxing oils, obviously one of them is lavender, but it really is this bespoke mix that we've got. And our inhaler is not expensive. It's only £10. And it lasts for months and months. And it's a gift to yourself to help you drift off. And as for the meditations, there are other things that you can listen to. Some people may want to listen to some relaxing music. Some people might want to listen to their own meditation apps, of which there are many on the market, or you can listen to our meditation. So it's just listening to something that you will find soothing and will help you switch off your mind. And the expression I use is that you need to switch off to recharge.
Exactly. And I love the fact that you're talking about a bespoke aromatic mix, because what will be soothing to one individual can be really quite aggravating to another. You know, lavender might be fantastic as a base note for us, and then somebody says, oh, that smells like you know, ex, that perfume that I hated on my, you know, my aunt, or, you know, something that will be resonant in a way that just isn't settling. And I think that's really fantastic. So
what's interesting is we did a trial with our aroma inhalers before we put them on the market. And I was just speaking to a gentleman yesterday who had been part of our trial, and he said he is now a complete nap convert, and he naps 7 days a week, and he can't do without his nap. And what a difference it's made to his life, to his productivity, to his well-being, to his mood. And that's a guy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And is there an age profile to this?
Is there an age profile? I think it cuts across all ages. So this is what makes it so part of a really inclusive well-being policy within an organization, because there's a move towards wanting to employ older people, and older people typically, you know, they are kind of getting into that an age where they more naturally feel that urge to nap during the day. It's for mums and dads, as we've talked about, who may be going through an extra period of disturbed sleeping. It's for people who are living with illness, and that obviously, that illness cuts across all ages, but also the millennials. And in fact, my 25-year-old son, he is also a nap fanatic, and he finds a place to nap most days, and he's working in the city, and he's working with American time zones, and he's doing business development calls, and he knows that nap is what makes the difference between a good sales call and one that hasn't gone as well as he wanted to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that I was saying about extending through the day. And I was getting a bit excited about the, you know, the different three different types, because I do a lot of North American calls, and that extends my work day. Not every day, obviously, but, you know, quite commonly I'm doing Pacific time zone, and so it has to extend, because I can't say to my children, hey, listen, I'm going to have a later morning in bed. Mum's not up till 12. So I can't do that, as you know.
And that is something I would really love to pick up on, given your audience is about the children, because one of the benefits of having a nap during the day is that when you get home in the evening, you've still got some mental and physical energy and presence to be there for your children and for your partner. And that is one of the game changers that people have said to me, is on the day that I nap, I go home from work and I'm still not, you know, I'm nice to be with, and I want to be nice to other people, and I don't just want to go and hide myself away because I'm so rattled and exhausted. I've actually got sort of that mental capacity and presence to really be there and talk to my children and my partner on the days that I've had a nap.
Sounds like napping extends our bandwidth, our ability to be with ourselves and be with others. And so it's, you know, what's not to love about it? And as an academic, I used to unashamedly, I mean, I shared with three guys, a big office, three professors, and all of us, you know, were beavering away in our corner of the room. They got used to me literally up at about 1:30, depending on my commitments. But I would get up, I would lay on the floor, had a little cushion. I'd lay on the floor on my back. I would take a little blanket and I would have a nap. And then I would get back up, you know, bring, I'm up again and back to it, and perfectly normalized it. They thought it was absolutely hilarious. I didn't give a damn. And I was super efficient and productive. And I, you know, come late afternoon, I wasn't, you know, absolutely on my knees, which I noticed, you know, a lot of people are, and because of what you talked about. And so I had no problem doing that. And I think, you know, which is why I was saying, where do people do it? Because I couldn't find anywhere. So I thought, well, damn it, I'll do it by my desk, because I'm not going to put myself at risk. I'm going to do that. And I wasn't shunned at all. I actually encourage people. And so napping is, you know, I'm delighted that we've had this conversation. I'm absolutely thrilled that we could bring this conversation, Cara, to so many people, because it's such an important thing in life. It really is. So thank you.
It's a pleasure. And I think it's that rested mind can answer to so many things. And I started off with ProNappers with a mission to normalize napping in the workplace. But in fact, my vision or mission, I always get them muddled up, has changed to actually get the nation napping. So that's what I'm on a mission to do.
Yes, getting the nation napping. Well, yeah. Good luck with it, and very much needed. And thank you for this wonderful conversation. Thank you,
Tanusha. Thank you for having me.
Well, Cara, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Wasn't that fantastic? I was struck by how, this is going to sound a little bit sad, exciting and really thrilling that nap pods and nap rooms sound. I'd quite like to see one, wouldn't you? So I'm also going to be integrating napping more into my schedule. Thanks for the reminder, by the way. And I think permission to do that, that's what I adored about this episode and my conversation with Cara, because I felt that what she was doing was giving, you know, obviously loads of wisdom, but permission to actually get to this and get to ourselves so that we're better equipped in life. I love that. Now, listeners, I'm so into the power of sleep. I re-released a Sunday supplement episode with Dr. Helen Driver on, yep, you guessed it, sleep. So, you know, if you're in the mood to improve the quality of your sleep, that's worth a listen to as well. Helen and I explored how to create habits that lead to the best quality sleep. You can find the link in the show notes for that episode. It's a super practical, down-to-earth, you know, conversation about sleep. So they're really great. I love the combination of these episodes, and I hope you do too. Well, that's it, listeners. Till next week. Same time, same place. Meet me here. Thank you so much for joining us again. Here's to you. Lots of love.
Thank you for tuning in to the Score for Mothers podcast. To continue the conversation and keep your dose of inspiration up, head over to scoreformothers.com/podcast, where you'll find bonus content from Danusha and her guests on habits, recommendations, books, best apps, time-saving secrets, life hacks, health, sleep, and anything in between. That's scoreformothers.com/podcast.